Good evening.
Evening.
Good to see everyone tonight. I want to thank Mr. Tim for the opportunity to come and speak to you about our mission work that me and my dad went, along with some of our family, to the Yucatan Peninsula. When we were down there, we went to four different congregations, one in Hool, one in Montool, one in South America, and one in Concal. So when we got to Merida and we got picked up from the airport, there was this arch on the way out of the airport, Bienvenidos, which means welcome. Very nice. Many of you know the scripture most by heart, Matthew 28:19-20, which says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That is most well known as the Great Commission. When most people go on mission trips, that's kind of the focus of what they're going to do, is to teach. So here's our group. We left Nashville Airport Thursday morning at 7 o'clock. So we have me, my cousin Isaac, my grandfather, my uncle Matthew, and my dad. And then this is just another picture. That is Justo, who is the Spanish-speaking preacher at the Beltline Church of Christ in Decatur, Alabama. He is from Merida. That is his father right there, Justo Sr., and his sister, and then her little child, Augie. I want to tell you a story about Augie. So, Justo's sister's neighbor, Justo's sister lives with Justo Sr. Justo's sister's neighbor has four children. Three of them are older and one of them's younger. When her husband would go out into the fields every day to make a living, to make money for his family, the mom would then have to take care of the three kids, take them to school, make sure that they were all cared for. And it was very hard for her to take care of that younger sibling. So she asked Justo's sister if she would be willing to help, if Justo's sister and her husband would be able to watch after this younger child throughout the day. And as time went on, that the amount of time they were watching them progressed. I mean, it would expand every so often, to where it was more and more comfortable for that child to be with Justo's sister. They would take them to church, they would take the child to church. The neighbors were not religious, they were not members of the church, so they would take the young child to church. And the neighbor saw this. She noticed, wow, these people are taking great care of my child. And Justo's sister is not able to have children. So this was very hard for them. And so the neighbor said, "I'll make a deal with you. If we have another child, I will give you that child." That's a pretty big proclamation. But to go through and do it is even more powerful. So Augie is that child. The neighbor was able to have another child, and they gave it to Justo's sister, and that is all. So here's a map of where we were. Merida is right there in the middle. Most people know Cancun. Cancun is over here on the backside, and then the island of Cozumel is right here on the backside. So this is the Yucatan Peninsula. It used to be one country before it combined with Mexico, and then whenever it combined with Mexico, the Mexican president at the time did not want an uproar, not want an uprising against him, so he split it up into three different states: Yucatan, Quintana Roo, and Campeche. So, Justo told us the Yucatan is the most, it's the safest state in all of Mexico. It is the only state without the cartel. Now, how does the government do this? Well, one way is that they put up borders entering and exiting the Yucatan state. So you'll pass through, if you ever go there, you have, there's security and police at every stop. Inspect, they're just wondering, hey, what are you doing coming into Yucatan? What are your plans of coming in? Another thing that the government does to keep it so safe is they have lots of community events. They like community there. So they constructed some ball courts, basketball courts, soccer fields, baseball fields, all sorts of things all over the community. They're, you can't drive a block without seeing a soccer field or a baseball field. They also, while we were there, one night when we were passing through, they had this giant screen put up on a underneath a basketball goal, and they were showing a movie that night. And Justo Sr., who is set up across, his house is across the street from this basketball court, he said that they, that it was lined up all the way back, all watching that movie as a community. So here's our friendly map again. The first day, so Friday, we went to Hul, which is right down here. Hul is right there. So it's in the state of Campeche. So we started up here in Merida. Our hotel was up in Merida, and we came all the way down to Hul from Campeche. So this was the congregation, Hul, that we visited. And my grandfather was able to speak a lesson through Justo to the congregation there. And he spoke on Acts 10, the first 8 verses of Acts 10. And if you wouldn't mind turning there with me, I just want to mention a few things that I think that we can take away from this story that many of us are very familiar of, the story of Cornelius. So as you can see in verse 2, and I won't read it word for word, you can read it and you have Bibles, but Cornelius was a man that was looked up to by many people. He was a centurion, so he was over 100 men. And Luke tells us here in Acts 10 that he was a devout man, one who gave to his community and prayed to God. So we would say this is a pretty respectable guy. I mean, he's over 100 men. And he's still 100 Roman men, and he's still praying to God, giving alms to people. But as you can see later in verse 4, and so, and finishing through verse 8, the Lord still had work for Cornelius. He still, there was still something he needed to do. He still needed to learn the gospel. And what I take from this is that we can think, oh, we're doing so good. I'm helping everybody out. I'm praying to God. But if we're not living out what God wants us to do and learning His word, then there's still more that we need to do. This was a picture from the front taking out, facing towards the back of the congregation during the sermon. And here's one back. And after the sermon, we brought groceries with us because it was a 3-hour drive from Merida to Hul, and it's very hard for them to get groceries. The groceries that we took them were roughly about a 2-week wage. So they were very helpful to this community. And my grandfather also brought some Spanish ready reference booklets to give out to the men at each of the congregations that we went to. So yeah, there's the groceries that we We also gave out laundry detergent and toilet paper. That was, and as you can see, not all of them had transportation, so they had to walk with all their families and transport it. That's the preacher's car. And after we went to the congregation and we had the lesson, we were able to go to a couple of the members' houses. One thing I forgot to mention, Pula is a Guatemalan refugee camp. So all these people that are in Pula, that you'll see in these pictures, they're all from Guatemala. They're all immigrants from Guatemala. And whenever you come from Guatemala, the government gives you a plot of land, and it takes time for that land to technically become yours. So until that happens, you're basically on your own. You have this small plot of land, and you have to fend for yourself and your family. So this was one of the families there. You can see the sticks up supported, surrounded by the trash bags. Justo said that a lot of times the church will help raise enough money to buy one of the big blue tarps that you'll see at Home Depot or Lowe's, and they will wrap it so that in the heavy storms, the heavy winds, the house will be able to stand. But the blue tarp just hadn't gotten to this house yet. And next door was her mother. This is her mother right here. So this is the daughter right here, her family. And then the mother was there first, and she made room for her child and her family to come. So this is the mother's house that is right, it's on the other side of the picture. So you take this picture and you turn around, and there's her house. It's made out of concrete, so it's able to stand hurricanes, which is pretty big down there, especially being on the Gulf of Mexico. That's our driver, Gabriel, right there. He drove us all weekend. He did a very good job. Here are the tools that they have. So you got a pickaxe, a shovel, a hoe, also right out there. Her kitchen, her outdoor kitchen. You see the grill over there atop all the stones, the trash underneath to use as a starter kit for the fire. It's very eye-opening stuff to see. On the way back from Pula, we were a part of history in Mexico. They're in the process of building a train to go around all of the Yucatan Peninsula. It will make traffic very, very much, very less on the roads, very easier for travel, the economy. It will help boost the economy. It will make it easier to get around everywhere. So this right here was a passenger train car. It was a passenger car. And you can see, I'm not exactly sure why. There were people guarding it and it was covered, but as you can see, it pretty much stopped traffic. We even saw there were even people pulling off on the side of the road, getting their phone out and videoing, taking pictures, so we could tell how much this meant to the people, to the locals there, that this was coming through and that they could see progress of what was happening. There it was stopped, just to see how big it is compared to man right there. Here's a cathedral that was in downtown Merida. This cathedral is actually made from stones that were a Mayan pyramid in the middle of Merida, and whenever the Spanish came to Mexico, they tore down the pyramid and reconstructed it in a cathedral. Catholicism in Mexico is very prevalent. About 25 years ago, there were about 95% of Hispanics were Catholics. Now that has gone down to 85%, but That's still a very big number. And that cathedral was constructed in 1520, just to show, and it's still standing there, it's still being used. But the amount of cathedrals is ridiculous. There's a cathedral here, and then two blocks down, there's another giant cathedral, and they're still being used. But most Hispanics that are Catholics go because it's tradition. Most of them don't even know why they're going, but they're going because that's the norm. That's what they've been told to do. That's how they've been raised. But they don't know what they're studying. And so whenever there are missionaries that come down there and show them the Bible, and they read and they say, oh, it doesn't say anything about worshiping Mary in here. Why am I doing this? So it's... wouldn't necessarily say it's easy to persuade them, but when they're actually reading it or showing them what it's about, they're a lot more open to listen to what you have to say. So here's the map again. The train is going to come up through Campeche, go around through Merida, go around up top, snake all the way back down here, and then it's going to come back towards central Mexico. So Saturday, we went to Montul, which is right here. You can kind of see a bold right there. So we got Merida right there. We were down here in the pool. Now we're going over to Montul. So Montul, we had the church van, which we had the privilege of riding in. Our van that was rented for us broke down. So the church came and got us. There's the church building right there. You can see transportation for the members. A lot of them walked, but there were lots of bikes. Bikes are very motorcycles, bikes of all kinds, and some cars back over here. My grandfather was able to speak a lesson here in the Montul congregation as well. There we go. So you can see the decorations there, the Spanish coverings. He spoke on later in Acts 10, in verses 34 and 35, when Peter was able to see while speaking to Cornelius that God doesn't care where you came from. He created us all. And as long as we fear him and work in righteousness, we are accepted by him. And Justo was able to tell us that was very helpful for them, because it's very easy to see some Americans come down as missionaries and say, oh, look at these people. They have so much more than us. Why should we care? And it's because God created us. He likes us wherever we're from. And there's a picture of the congregation in Montul. There's afterwards. We were able to speak with some of them. Most of them spoke only Spanish, but a couple of them spoke a little bit English. There's the map again. We've been to Hul, up to Montul, and Saturday night we're going to come down here by the airport. This one's right here. So downtown Merida's up there. We're right here, you know, South America. So you can see the big cathedral earlier. This is during the day. Here's the congregation in South Merida. They had a youth rally there Saturday night, so we were able to go and be with them. My dad was able to speak at that through an interpreter, which he can tell you he had a lot of fun with. And he spoke on the parable of the talents, which I know he's spoken on here recently, but he told them about how God gave each person what he felt that they needed, what he knew that they could handle. And it was big for the youth because they were able to know that God gives us what he wants and what he wants us to do, what we need from him. There's a picture of the youth there. After the service part, they had some men come up and practice singing just to help kind of get them more comfortable. And then they played a game of Kahoot, which is like a quiz game. It's a Bible quiz game that they do online. And so they invited me and Isaac to join them. And we did and had some fun with that. Then we went outside and we played a couple games with them. They had a meal as a congregation night, and then we played some volleyball afterwards that lasted into the length of the night. And then Sunday, we went to Chichen Itza, which is a Mayan city. We went there in the morning, and then at night for service, we went to Kunkal, which is up here in the north. There in the north. So here's the church at Kunkal. My grandfather was also able to give another lesson here, and the people at Kunkal, they were very welcoming. They were very happy to see people come to them and speak the word. He spoke from Acts 10 that we've been looking at a lot, and then he also mentioned Luke 10, mainly verse 16, where Jesus says, "He who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Which is very powerful for me because it shows that God wants all of us to come to him, but we have to choose it. We're not robots. He's not going to make us choose one way or the other. He leaves the choice up to us, and if we choose to follow him, we will be rewarded for that. Here's the congregation during the lesson. Here's from the back. You can see there are so many people at the congregation in Kunkal that they're having to come out of the back of the building. And so because of that, they are working on constructing out of the side to build an expansion to fit so many people. This is the minister at the church. He had a slideshow after worship. He had a slideshow showing that the men of the church, they would go out in the mornings, like they would go out in the mornings and work in the fields to make money for their families back home. Then they would come home, they would eat dinner, spend time with their families. And then when they were done with that, they would come to the church and they would work throughout the night, working on the construction of the expansion. And then they would get up in the morning, go to the fields, work all day, come home, come back to the church, and work some more. This was a good friend of ours that we got to spend some time with. He didn't speak hardly any English, but you could still tell the connection. That's Antonio. And he shared with us Waya fruit, and we were able to share it with my grandfather and my uncle as well. I didn't get a really good picture of it. You can see a little bit there. It's a green nut that you crack open, and inside there's a seed, like gel wrapped around the seed. And so you crack it open, you pop the seed in your mouth, take all the gel out and spit the seed out. It's an interesting fruit. If you ever have the chance, I would encourage encourage trying it.
And then there's a picture of us with Antonio.
So as you can see, our work in Mexico was very eye-opening for all of us. We were able to see all the different people there, and all the people that we interacted with were very kind, very happy that we were there, especially the people in Hool, because being 3 hours from Merida, car ride, they hardly get any missionaries, any English people to come down there and speak with them and spend time with them. So they were very grateful. As were the people in Montul, Merida, and Cancal, they were all very happy that we were there and able to speak the word with them and spend time with them. I want to tell you a story about Antonio as I wrap up. So the speaker, the minister in Cancal, right there, his father is a bread maker. He makes bread in the morning, then he goes out on his bike and he sells it for money, to make money for his family. That's how he makes money for his family. And one day he's out selling his bread. He has his money bag over his shoulder. He's out selling his bread, and a man comes up to him with a knife and says, "Give me all your money." So he says, "Hey, don't hurt me. Here, take my money." So he takes his money and he lets him go. So he's very emotionally touched. Like, he's struggling with this interaction that he had. So he goes out. He goes about his everyday business. He comes back a couple days. He's going down the same street, has his money bag over his shoulder, selling his bread. And the man comes up to him again. He's like, "Oh, here I go again. Here, take my money." And he's like, "No." The man says, "No, I don't want your money. When I took your money bag, there was a Bible in there. And I read it. And I have questions." That man was Antonio. And so Antonio spent time with the preacher's father, learning about the Word of God. And today, Antonio is that man's son-in-law. And hearing that story, we met Antonio, and then we were eating dinner, and Justo told us that story about him. And it makes you smile, because that's how powerful the Word of God is. And it's hard to see who wouldn't want to be a part of it. If this book can do that for somebody who took an act of violence for money and found this and read it, had questions, and wanted to learn more about it, and then later became a member of the Church of Christ. I mean, it just makes you smile, because you know that God is working there. Now, I don't know if... I know that none of that has happened to us, maybe. I mean, maybe it has. I don't know, maybe someone's come at you with a knife and asked for your Bible. So great. But that made Antonio want to become a member of Christ. And if there's anyone here tonight that wants to make that decision, or if you need help, you know us. We're here to help you. If there's anything that we can do for you tonight, would you please come while we sing our invitation song?